Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called Jesus Is, and this week Pastor Josh Finkley discusses how Jesus is the greater mentor. Enjoy the message.
If you are new with us, thank you for being here. If you're watching online, thank you as well. But let me talk about leadership for a second. Let's talk about this. Maybe I could do it this way. Can I ask this question? Who is it that you're following? Like really ask yourself that question. Who is it that I'm following? Or I could ask you, what is it that you're following? Who or what am I following? Who or what is my leader? And my hope is today that we'll come to the end of this and we'll recognize that we need to decide who is the greater leader and follow him. That's kind of the goal. Is that I want you to consider that, because this is true, every one of us has someone or something that we are following. And it or he or she might be good, but there might be something greater. Think about it a little bit from leadership in general. Like you could look at athletics and you could say that there's different levels of leadership. You could look at Michael Jordan and you could pin him against LeBron James and you could make a decision, who is the better leader? That you could look at Coach K or Coach Saban and say, who is the better leader? We could look at Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, and we all know who the better leader is there, okay? And since I got the microphone, I get to decide. Or we could go about our presidents. We could go to past presidents. You could say, was Washington or was Lincoln a better leader? Was Teddy Roosevelt or Franklin Roosevelt a better leader? That you could go to pop culture. You could look at your movies, all right? You could look at the Star Wars, you know, whole saga, and you could say, who's the better Star Wars leader? Is it Yoda or is it Darth Vader? You know what I mean? And you might debate that a little bit. And I'm going to go towards Yoda because I'm always going to say power to the little people. You know what I mean? So like I'm going to go that direction. But you could go to the Avengers. And you could say, which Marvel person is the greatest leader? And I know some of you will say Tony Stark. Others of you will say Iron Man. I'm probably going to land more on Star-Lord, okay? Because he should have been the best leader. We got any Avenger fans in here? Okay, so you're with me. At least you catch the joke, all right? But even biblically, there's a little debate that is out there. Like, who's the better leader? Is it Jesus or is it Moses? The writer of Hebrews, which that's the book that we're studying right now and will be really for the rest of this semester, and we're talking about this idea that Jesus is, and today we're going to look at the writer of the book of Hebrews. He said that Jesus is a greater leader, that he was trying to get the Hebrew people to recognize that Jesus was a greater leader than Moses. You'll see it Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. It reads it this way. It says, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader. Now, you could say he was a perfect mentor. You could say he was a perfect motivator. You could say he was the perfect master leader. That he's the perfect leader. Like he is the greatest leader. And look at the next part, who is fit to bring them into salvation. It's fit to bring them into their salvation. That a leader's job is to get you to the destination. Whatever that destination might be, it might be better in your job, it might be better at school, it might be better at your athletics. When it comes to faith, we want that leader to take us to the point of salvation. And Jesus is the leader who can bring you to your salvation. He doesn't just proclaim salvation, he's the one who can bring you to it. So my challenge today is, will you consider Jesus as your leader? And I'm gonna say it this way. that I said last week that I hope through this series that hundreds of people place their faith in Jesus because of this series. I said that it is my prayer that hundreds of people take a step of baptism. Well, if that is the case for my prayer for the whole series, then I'm really praying today that every one of you in this room, every one of you watching online, you're on demand later maybe, that it is my prayer that every one of us at the end of this message will say, I want to follow Jesus. That's my prayer. That there will be no wonderings, there'll be no, well, maybe, that at the end of this, you will say, I have considered Jesus, and I am confident he is the best leader to take me to salvation. So for us to do that, let's just start by considering Jesus, which simply means to think about, to examine, to investigate. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says it this way. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Investigate him. Think about him. The messenger and high priest of our confession. What's interesting about that is, if you remember, last week we talked about how he is the greater messenger. Next week we'll talk about how he is the greater high priest. Another way to say that, he's a greater mediator. Today we focus on he is a greater leader. That he is the greatest leader. So consider him. The next verse reads it like this. For he was faithful to God who appointed him. Just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses. That if you actually read it from the NIV, which is a translation of the Bible, it reads he is the greater Moses. That he deserves far more glory than Moses. Just as a person who builds a house deserves far more praise than the house itself. So the writer is trying to say, like Hebrew people, we know that you love Moses, that you think he is a great leader. And he was. But there was a limit to Moses' leadership. All he was able to do was take the Israelites to the promised land. Now, let me back that up because some of you might not know the story of Moses. Let me explain that. That Moses was born as a slave. He was born as a servant of Egypt, of the Pharaoh. And then he is eventually adopted by the Pharaoh. He lived in the Pharaoh's house till he was about 40. He committed murder, so he fled for his life. Ended up in a little farming town called Midian. And while he was there, around 80 years of age, he was out on a walk and he saw a bush that was burning. And he walked over towards it because it looked a little weird. And he heard a voice of God say, hey, Moses, I got a job for you. Now, I think most of us, if you heard the voice of God and you heard God say, hey, I've got a job for you, you would probably be like, okay, yeah, what is it? So I can picture Moses going, yeah, you got a job for me? Okay, yeah, what you got, God? And God says, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to go to the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And it's at that moment that Moses is like, well, I don't know, God. Like, are you sure about that? Like, I don't speak very well, God. Like, surely you've got somebody else. And God's like, nope, Moses, you go. You are my servant. So Moses goes. And he goes to the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh says, no way. So then God starts sending plagues. Plague after plague after plague. Moses keeps going, Pharaoh, let him go. And Pharaoh says, no. So God plagues. God sends some stuff against the Pharaoh. And finally, it's getting ready for the 10th plague. And God goes to Moses. He says, Moses, tell the Israelites to take some blood from a lamb and spread it across their door frames. Because tonight, the Pharaoh is going to say, get out. And when you do, you're going to leave through that door, that door frame that has blood all around it. You're going to walk through the blood and you're going to head towards the promised land. Tell the Israelites to be ready because tonight it's going to happen. And sure enough, that night the Pharaoh went to Moses and said, get your people out of here. Get out. I'm tired of it. So Moses called out the Israelites, and the Israelites left with Moses, and they all went through their door frames, which there's a lot of significance about that I can't really get into this week, but we'll continue talking about it as the series goes on. But they leave there, and they start following Moses, and they get out to a Red Sea, and they come across a little bit of a struggle for a while, and then they go through the Red Sea, and then they eventually get to the Promised Land. And that's where Moses' story kind of ends. That he gets the Israelites to the promised land, but he's never able to get them into it for multiple reasons. He's never able to get them into it. So he got them to there, but that's as far as he was able to lead them. He was a servant, and that's where it ended. But with Jesus, it's different. Jesus doesn't just take us to the promised land. He gets us into the promised land. And when I'm talking about the promised land, what I mean is eternal life. What I mean is heaven. What I mean is that God not only gets us to there, Jesus not only gets us to the end of our life, he gets us through and into the next life. And that's good news, isn't it? That's what Jesus can do. And that's why I want you to consider him. Because Jesus wasn't just a servant. Moses was a servant. Jesus was the son. Look at it. It says it right there in Scripture. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household. That he was a servant as a testimony to what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over the household. Moses was a servant. Jesus was son. Moses served God. Jesus was the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he said, let me go and serve people. As the Son of God, he said, let me go and serve my Father. As the Son of God, he didn't decide just to stay in heaven. And Jesus didn't say, well, I've got it made up here. Sorry for you all. I've got it good and I'm going to let it be that way. No, what the Son did is he said, I'm not going to just hold on to my position of authority. I'm actually going to trade it in. And the Son became a servant so that he might save us. The Son became a servant so that he could bring salvation unto us. And he did it by being selfless and being relentless. One of the things I get to do besides pastoring here at The Rock is I get to serve as the chaplain for the Coastal Carolina University baseball team. And I love that. I love getting to hang out with those guys. I love being able to be in the dugout and going to the locker room. And one of the things about their locker room, as you walk in, their team motto is big and bold on the wall. And it simply says, selfless and relentless. And every time I see those two words, all I do is think about Jesus. Because if there was ever anybody who was selfless and relentless, it was Jesus. He was selfless because he said, I'm not going to hold on to my position in heaven, but I'm going to come to this earth. He was selfless in the way that he obeyed God. He was selfless in the way that he loved people. He was selfless in the way that he took on the form, the flesh of a servant and of a slave. He was selfless in the way that he lived his life with a mission in mind. He was selfless in the way that he invited people into a circle. He was selfless when he went to some guys and he said, hey, why don't you come follow me? I've got a better life for you. He was selfless when he went to those who were hurting and he said, let me help you. Let me help you walk. Let me help you hear. Let me help you see. Let me help you with your health. Let me help you live. He was selfless when he said, I'm going to give them some food so that they might eat, because he saw them. He saw that they were hurting and he said, come on into my circle. He was selfless in the way that he went to a cross. And he said, it's not about me. And he was relentless. If you think about Jesus just being relentless, relentless in the way that he loved God. That I love God so much, I love the Father, I'll come to the earth. I love the Father, so I've got to pray to him. I love the Father, so I'm going to worship. I love the Father, so I'm going to obey. I love the Father, so I'm going to speak truth. I love the Father, so I'm going to give grace. His love for the Father, he lived out. And not only his love for the Father was he relentless that way, his love for people was relentless. Not just because of the way he invited them in, but by the way that he went to the cross. I mean, think about how easy it would have been for Jesus to have lost focus of the mission. Think about why he was on earth, even as a kid or as a teenager, saying, man, this is not what I signed up for. Imagine him when he got baptized and he went out into the desert and Satan tempted him, how he'd be like, man, this is too much. Angels, come get me. Imagine when he was living and ministering to people and all they wanted was more and more of his time. You know there had to be a point where he's like, enough is enough. People are good, but people be crazy. You know there was a point. But he's relentless. And he said, no. These people, I love them and I want to serve them. He's in the garden. Satan's tempting him. He's like, no. Think about how easy it would have been when he was arrested and people started beating him. People started spitting on him. The Roman soldiers started whipping him across his back. Think about how easy it would have been for him to say, I'm done. Or when the nails went into his wrist or into his feet, for him to say, that's enough. That's enough. I've had enough. God, I know this is what you want, but I've had enough. But he never did that. Because he was relentless about his love for God and his love for people and his willingness to do something. Because he knew the only way that I'm going to be able to save people, the only way I'm going to be able to get them into the promised land is if I follow God, is if I love God, if I love people, if I do something about it, the only way I'm going to save them is if I'm relentless in my pursuit of the mission, which means I'm going to have to die on the cross, I'm going to have to be put in the grave, but then I'll rise from the dead at that point. That it was through that that Jesus said and Jesus lived this relentless life. That he was a son who became a servant so that he might save us. And that's why I want you to consider him. And that's why I want you to follow him. Is because he's the son who is a servant who came to save us. But unfortunately, what we do is we follow stuff. Rather than following the son. I mean, if all we did was follow Moses, the servant, that would be at least better. But in our world, like we bypass Moses and we go over here and say, well, I'm just going to follow stuff. Then I'm going to allow stuff to be my leader. What I mean by that is we say, well, I'm going to follow the money trail. I'm going to work my job. I'm going to get some more money and I'm going to do this and I'm going to buy that. And then I got to get some more money. And we allow money to be the thing that we're following. Money is good. There is nothing wrong with money, but money was never meant to be your leader. Think about your career. Think about how you're like, oh, I just want that next job. I want that promotion. I want that higher level of leadership. I want to be able to do this. I want to start my own business. Or maybe if you're younger, you're in education. That I got to get this degree, and then I got to get that degree, and then I got to do this. Again, nothing wrong with a career. Nothing wrong with education. Those are great things. But they were never meant to be your leader. They're meant to be stuff that helps you to serve your leader, Jesus. Yet rather than serving and following the Son, we serve and follow our stuff. Consider this. Which one is greater? And the greater one is Jesus. So follow him. But I know this, the only way you're going to follow him, even if you consider him, the only way you're going to follow him is if you're confident in him. Because when we're not confident in things, we don't follow very well. When we're not confident in things, then we get a little iffy. I know that because sometimes this might happen in your life, that you're not very confident in your bank account. So then you go to the restaurant or the grocery store and you swipe your debit card and you're like, please work. Right? You know what I mean? You're like, and when they say, okay, yeah, it's approved, you're like, praise God, okay? Because you're like, I don't want the walk of shame of, that card didn't work. Do you have another? And sometimes you're not confident there, right? Another way to illustrate this is a time that me and my son Clay went skiing. All right, now, if you know Clay, he's one of our guys on staff. But when he was younger, maybe 5, 6, or 7, I don't remember how old, but young, I got asked to speak at a ski retreat out in the mountains in Colorado. And so I was heading out there. I was like, Clay, why don't you come with me? And we went out there. And I remember on the morning of the ski retreat that I said, all right, Clay, I'm going to preach for this youth group. When I'm done preaching, we're going to get to go out on the mountain and we're going to go skiing. I was like, now, Clay, you've never been skiing. Remember, we grew up in the Midwest, flatlands, all right? I said, you've never been skiing. Do you know what to do? And he goes, yeah, I play skiing all the time on video games. I was like, great, enough said, right? You know what I mean? So we get done preaching and we go out to the slopes and I put a snowboard on my feet. I put skis on him and we're standing there. And I said, all right, Clay, first thing you need to do, you need to learn to stand up. All right, good, you got that. Second thing, learn to fall down. He fell down. I was like, great. I said, you ready to go? He's like, yeah, we gonna go to that hill? I said, no. That hill's for sissies. We're going to the big hill. See, he was pointing at the bunny slope, okay? And I was like, we ain't starting on no bunny slope. We're going to the big hill. And here's why. The more gravity you have, the easier it is to learn to ski, okay? So I knew if we take him to the big hill, gravity's going to win, and he's going to get down that mountain. I know some of you looking at me like, you are a mean parent. Just wait. It gets worse. So I said, come on, we get over this chairlift, and we're standing in line, we get on it, and I help him get on it. You know, he's a small child at the time. So I just kind of pick him up, put him on the chair, and we take off. And as we're going up, he looks up, he says, hey, Dad, they're putting like a bar down for like safety. He goes, we have that bar, put it down. I said, nope. He's like, no, Dad, we're supposed to put that down. It's like the seatbelt. I said, nope. And I had my arm around him. I said, you just need to trust me. I was trying to teach him a lesson. Like, you got to have confidence in your father right now. And I held him the whole time we were going up the ski lift. And we got to the top, got off the ski lift, and we're standing there. I said, all right, Clay, two things. There's only two things you got to know. He goes, okay, Dad, what is it? I said, first, if you ever feel like you're going too fast, fall down. He goes, so if I feel like I'm going too fast, just fall down? I said, yep, just fall down, all right? I know when we're our age or my age and fall down, we get hurt. But when you 5, 6, 7, it's just like you're like nimble, right? I said, so you just fall down. And he's like, okay. He said, what's the second rule? I said, if I think you're going too fast and you hear me yell, Clay, fall down, fall down. He goes, okay, I got it. I said, so if you're going too fast, I fall down. I said, if I yell, fall down. He goes, I fall down. I said, you got it. So then I bend down and I start putting my boot on for my snowboard, and I look up and he's gone. And I'm like, uh-oh, should have told him three things. You know what I mean? Like wait on Dad, because he's gone. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, Mama's gonna kill me. I'm losing her child. And so now I'm trying to get a snowboard going. If you've ever snowboarded, it's not real easy to get going fast. And then all of a sudden I'm going and I'm catching and he's going. And next thing I know, boom, brrr, wipes out, snow flying everywhere. And I get up there real quick and I stop. I'm like, Clay, you okay? And he looks up at me and he's just laughing. He's like, yeah, Dad, I'm fine. I'm like, why'd you fall down? Going too fast. I was like, all right, good. And then we got up and we started going down the rest of the mountain, and we got down towards the bottom, and he got going a little too fast, and now there's people around. I said, Clay, fall down! And boom! Drrr. This time, though, when I ski up and I stop, I look at him, he's bawling. I was like, Clay, you okay? You hurt? He goes, I'm not hurt. Well, then why are you crying? And he pointed at a person. He said, that person, they said I'm going way too fast. I'm going to kill somebody. And that was it. The rest of our time out on the slope, you know what he did? Back, forth, fall down. Back, forth, fall down. He lost all confidence. Because somebody else who doesn't even know him spoke something into him. And rather than trust and have confidence in his father, he heard an outside voice and said, well, I'm going to listen to them rather than listen to my father and trust him. And I'm afraid that's what happens, is we'll consider Christ and we'll be like, yeah, he would be a great leader. Because, yeah, he can get me into the eternal life. He can get me into the promised land. But rather than follow him and listen to him, we lose all confidence. And we allow other things to speak into our life. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about this. It says, but Christ, his son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house, meaning God's people, if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Meaning this, that if we remain confident that he is the one who can save, that we remain confident that he is the one who can bring salvation, that we have to stay confident in Christ because he's the only one who can get us into the promised land. And if that's the case, you gotta have courage. You gotta have courage. See, there are those 12 guys that decided to follow Jesus. Man, they had some courage. One of them, he flaked out and ended up, Judas, dying, committing suicide. But the other 11, man, they followed Jesus. They left everything. Even after he rose from the dead, they're like, you are my leader. To the point that we see in church history, Peter was crucified upside down because of the way he was following Jesus. That John was boiled in a vat of boiling oil and then banished to an island because of the way he followed Jesus. It says that James was ran through with a lance. Bartholomew was flayed alive. His skin was peeled off. But they never backed down. They said, we're trusting in God no matter what comes in front of us, no matter what Red Sea, no matter what fire, no matter what pain, no matter what trial, no matter what trouble, we will stick with Jesus because he's a leader worth following and he'll get me into the next life, not just to the end of this life. That's what Jesus does. See, the Israelites, if you think back to the Israelites, they left. But when they got to the Red Sea, they're like, well, we don't know what to do, so let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back. And Moses is like, no, we're not going back. You got to trust God. And the waters parted, and they walked through on dry ground. And you would think that would finally be enough. But the next thing they do, they get to the Promised Land. And he sends 12 spies in. 10 of them come back and say, there's some big dudes there. We can't win this war against these big dudes. You got no chance. Joshua and Caleb were like, yeah, there's some big dudes. But did you forget what God did at the Red Sea? Did you forget what God did in Egypt? Man, if God can handle a sea, and if God can handle a Pharaoh who thinks he's a god, then God can handle these little giants. What he's done in the past, he can do again. That's what they saw. They got to have courage to follow. We have to have the humility to follow. We got to humble ourselves. See, the Israelites, they hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts like in the rebellion because they weren't willing to humble themselves. You want to follow Jesus, you got to humble yourself. You want to follow Jesus, you got to be faithful to the end. If you want to follow, you got to be faithful to follow. The last verse I want to talk about, it talks about this idea of faithfulness. And it says to be faithful to the end. It's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. It says, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Do you know what that means? It means you share in the promised land. You share in the afterlife. You share in eternal life. That everything Jesus has because he is the Son of God is available to us. He is a leader that says, that's what I want for you. Just be faithful and follow. And here's my fear. Some of us will miss it. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. It's available. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. And that's where I leave us right now. I want you to tremble in fear that you might miss it. I tremble in fear that you might miss it. It breaks my heart to know every week that I preach to hundreds of people here and hundreds of people online. And some of you will consider Christ, but you'll never place your confidence in him and start walking with him. And I don't want you to miss what he has promised. I don't want you to miss what he wants to do in your life. I don't want you to miss how he can get you through this life and into the next life. So today I'm gonna make a bold ask. And I'm gonna challenge you to say yes to Jesus. And I'm going to challenge you to make a bold statement and declare him as your leader. Because there's some of you in this room who have never done that. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. So I'm asking right now, if you've never done that, but you're willing to say today, I've considered him and I'm going to find my confidence in him, and I'm going to follow him as my leader. If you're ready to admit that and confess that today, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Because I believe there's some people in here who have never confessed Jesus as your Lord, and today's the day. Anyone willing to confess that? Today you're willing to say, I want Jesus to be my leader. Others of you, are you willing to say, you know what? I'll follow Jesus no matter what. Eric and Rachel, will you follow Jesus no matter what? Raise your hand. Admit it right now. You're in. Keith, will you follow Jesus no matter what? Timmy, you follow Jesus no matter what? You're in. Are you in? Then you confess it right now as well, saying, I've considered Christ, and I'm confident in him, and I will walk with him for the rest of my life, no matter what comes. Hell or high water, I'm in it with Jesus. I'm in it with Jesus. It's great to proclaim it here, and that's a victory, but now we got to live it. And I'm going to challenge you while we sing this song, that maybe the way you're going to respond next and just to continue to declare it is by taking communion. Every week when you take communion, that's what you're declaring. You're saying, Jesus is my leader. So maybe today you need to take communion. Maybe today you need to go over to our prayer corner. And we put kind of that piece of art from last week up there. And on that board, people wrote last week, Jesus is greater. Maybe today what you need to do is go up. There's all kinds of markers there. And you need to write, Jesus is my leader. Maybe just declare that. And then once you do, you'll see that little black box over there. There's a button there. Just push that button. And when you do, that wall is going to light up. And it's you declaring to everybody in here, Jesus is my leader. Or maybe for you today, it's declaring it through baptism. Saying, I'm going to follow him. Let's spend some time responding. Let's go before him. And let's ask him to continue to lead us in what he's done in the past. Celebrate that he will do again. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for being my leader. Help us to follow and to follow faithfully. In your name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.